We've been talking about the startling conclusion to the drama at University of Missouri, where racial tensions finally boiled over into the resignation of the chancellor and the president. Now, the protests didn't force the resignation. Even a hunger strike didn't force the resignation. The thing that seems to have triggered the resignation was the involvement of the school football team. A number of players announced that they were not going to play this Saturday. The coach decided that he was going to stand with his players, and seems like it kind of tipped the whole thing forward.
Well, let me also bring something up, Ethan, about a lot of folks texting in, hey, this is, it's the business of the football team that got this thing done. And why is the football team making that decision?
A lot of people are upset, but I honestly don't think that we should be upset that the football team got involved.
It's not about being involved, Ethan. What they did get wrong was that it took the football team to make a change. And so,
yeah.
Because I looked at it and Gary Pinkle, who's the head coach of Missouri University, he is a $3.1 million per year guy, salary only. Bonuses are in there, and he earns $3.1 million as a major college football coach. The president of the University of Missouri, or the Missouri University of Missouri Systems, Tim Wolf, that just resigned today, $450,000 a year was his salary. So who makes the decisions? The guy who not only makes the most money there, but the person who brings in the most money, which is Gary Pinkle, who had to make a choice based on all of these things. And we talked to somebody today, Ethan, that was very interesting for us
to get
a perspective of, because he's in Missouri and he's watching this thing happen right now.
That's right. Mark Reardon is a talk show host for KMOX in St. Louis, and he traces the problems going on at the University of Missouri. He traces that back to Ferguson.
So what it's done, in some of these students that were involved in the group that are leading the charge on campus, the concerned students 1950 are from this St. Louis area. So what happened with that movement that started here and continues in St. Louis empowered these students in a way that they felt, and look, they have the right to do this. They have the freedom to become activists on campus and try to make a difference. You can argue this has been a very effective method of doing that, especially when you have the football program and members of the team backing you. So you have to give them credit. And you also have to fault the university. One thing I would say about Tim Wolf is that all along here, he did not handle things very well. There was a lack of leadership. There were two white Republicans who called for his resignation. And they were doing that not necessarily for the same reasons. There were some budget issues. There were some issues related to Planned Parenthood. All of these things, I think it became the perfect storm in Columbia, Missouri, with these protests and the demands for his resignation. And over the weekend, when the football team walked out, it became a nuclear bomb.
And it wasn't just, I think a lot of people looked at it, and the Gary Pinkle Twitter, the tweet from last night was supposed to say, hey, us as an entire team stand together. And then after that, you had players anonymously reach out to members of the media, including ESPN's Brett McMurphy, and they said, look, we're not united in this. There are a lot of us who are not on board with this. We want to play the game. We want to practice. We're not involved in this. And they didn't agree with some of the ways that it was happening. And so to have it be just as the entire football team, it's a tough deal. Guess what Gary Pinkle has to deal with? Recruiting. He's got boosters. He's got folks that he's got an image that he has to portray. If you cannot get athletes to come to the school because they're afraid that it's going to be a racist campus, and he doesn't do something about it, no one is going to come to your school, and that is going to kill your program, and it's going to get you out of a job, and it's a PR thing. I don't know where his exact intentions were. We've got something else I wanted you guys to hear too from Mark Reardon, because he came down pretty hard that this was not necessarily it was more of a minority group of small voices that really got everybody to jump on top of this, and he felt like it wasn't necessarily representative of the entire group of African American or other minority students at the University of Missouri.
But there are demands that are being put on the administration, and they continue today by this group that is leading the charge. Where I'll give you an example. the first demand by this organization, the Concerned Students 1950, and that is in reference to 1950,
that's right,
the first year that a black student was admitted into the University of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
The very first demand of Tim Wolf, the now former president, was to acknowledge white privilege and to acknowledge systemic oppression on campus. Now, I talk with students today. My son happens to be a freshman there, and I said, you know what, I met a couple of your dorm mates. They're black students. I said, I'd like to have them on and just ask them some questions about this. Just regular students.
Right.
Who've been involved in this. They're not organizing the protest, but they've been involved. They've been tied in. There were tents that were set up on campus. They slept in the tents. And I asked both of them, I said, guys, could you give me an example of what systemic oppression at the University of Missouri, what opportunities you don't have that you think you should have? They couldn't answer that question. They really couldn't. So there's a little bit of groupthink that goes on here. There's a group leading the charge. This happened with Black Lives Matter in Ferguson. Believe me, I saw it firsthand. A lot of students feel that they have to be a part of it. There's always a portion of this that still stems from realistic problems that exist, but it, I think it became an issue of the inmates running the asylum here, and that's why you're in a dangerous position with precedent when you have the football team, and if we're being honest, this would have not happened if the team hadn't walked out on Saturday dictating what could happen with the president of a university.
We want to again thank Mark Reardon from KMOX for weighing in on this and giving us some local context. However, and a lot of people are being very harsh on Twitter, very harsh against these football players that wanted to boycott the game, speaking harshly about these students. But this has its roots, at least contemporarily, the situation right now has its roots in Ferguson. And this is what I think we have to remember sitting here in Salt Lake City, watching this happen. We have to understand that this is a community that's very different from ours. And these students are having an experience that's very different from the one that I receive. I have never, ever in my life drawn a sideways glance from a police officer or a security guard or anyone else for that matter. Never in my life. So we're dealing with people who have a very different set of circumstances, a very different experience than me. And I believe that it's entirely appropriate for these students to leverage the football team, because at a school which has a history of racial tension in a state, in a community with a very recent history
where it seems
of
like it's
racial
gotten, where
tension.
It seems like it's gotten a lot worse in the last 18 months.
You have black young men who on the football team enjoy a level of respect and a status in the community that they would not have just walking down the streets of St. Louis as a 20-year-old black man. In that context of a college football player, they have a status and a respect among the larger community. And I think it's entirely appropriate for them to leverage that.
But was it a necessary leverage, I think, when you ask about what Tim Wolf did or did not do, if they were to say to him, hey, the first two demands are to recognize the white privilege and oppressive nature toward the minority students on campus, I think that he would, I think he looked at it and went, I don't see it.
Well, he was obviously caught off guard. And you know what? At a certain point, you have to be willing to listen.
Are there racist people probably on every campus in the United States? Yes.
Sure.
And
sure.
Do they say things that they should not? And especially in the South, Ethan, the entire region that has struggled with this? Absolutely. And so when there are instances of this, and three or four of these instances have been documented, when it comes down to it, was it the right thing to do? We're going to ask you via text. 57500 is the text number. All I know is, Ethan, I got to work on Saturday, and I'm glad for it because football does take my mind off of a lot of other issues, and it does for a lot of other people.